Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
In Yeshua's mighty name, come on. You may be seated. We want to welcome everyone, including those who are joining us on the internet. In English and in Spanish. As you all know, I am filling in for the pastor. Pastor Tom, my faith is that he'll be back with us soon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what I started last week, and I started it because I made the observation that there is, and always has been, a lack of understanding of Yahweh's word. However, it has been magnified in the current years that we live in. We know there's been a misunderstanding because we have all these different religions that we have created to worship a perfect God. And if he is a perfect God, there is only one way. His perfection will not allow him to be undecided about what is the way to worship him. Would you agree?
Amen.
If he is a perfect God, he cannot have imperfect ways.
Yes, right.
Would you agree with me?
I agree.
And so we have the Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopalian, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, and so on and so on. But today there seems to be a real increase in lack of understanding. And truth has become subjective. And if you know what subjective is everybody got their own truth. And so there is no truth that we all can depend on. And of course, that is not true because Yahweh, God, is a God of truth. And so today I'm going to expand on what I was doing. And the Holy Spirit brought me to the tabernacle. Would you put that up? You see, God, Yahweh, and you might wonder why we call him Yahweh, why we call the Savior Yeshua, is because that's the truth. There is no way we could call him Jesus because there is no J in the Hebrew language. And that makes it an impossibility. There's no way we could call the Father Jehovah because there is no J in the Hebrew language. That would be an impossibility. Call him that. You say, well, people called him that. Yes. I can call you out of your name too, if I want to. But the reality is you have a name that was given you from birth. And whether I call you out of your name or not, you still know your name. And you're not going to respond to a name that is not your name. And so in the tabernacle, if we could bring that up, the Mishkan, Yahweh began to explain to us his salvation. Now, we won't get some of the exact particulars, but we will get the layout of what his plan is in regards to salvation. So while we are trying to get that up, I want us to go to the book. It's up there now, but let's still go to the book of Apocalypse, Revelation. And I want us to start at the 13th chapter, the 8th verse. How many of you would just like to know some stuff about God and about his plan? How many of you are satisfied with what you know? You know, I've been doing this for 50 years, and I'm still not satisfied. I've studied the Greek, I've studied the Hebrew, and I'm still not satisfied. Since he is God, there is no way for us to learn everything about him in one lifetime. In one lifetime, in two lifetimes, in three lifetimes. He is the eternal. He is the everlasting Father. He is the beginning, and he is the ending, and everything in between. He created all things, and all things was made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. He created life. In him was life. That life is the light of men. To know everything about him is an impossibility. But I want to know enough to get to heaven. Hallelujah. I want to know enough to get to heaven. And so the 8th verse of the 13th chapter of the Apocalypse says this: and all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. See, no matter who you are, you might not believe that he exists, but in the end, you're going to worship him. Huh? Your name might not be in the book of life, but still, you're gonna worship him. Hallelujah. Everybody got to bow down. And the writer of Philippians would say, his name is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow. I know it said Jesus in there, but that's not possible. At the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Yahweh. You say Yeshua is Yahweh. Yep. To the glory of Yahweh the Father. The Father's not losing any glory when we say Yeshua is Yahweh. Written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God, Yahweh, the eternal, had a plan for salvation when he created the world. See, we're the only one that's trying to figure out what is his plan. But he had a plan before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look, if we would, at the book of Yeshayahu, which you will call him Isaiah. And you might wonder why I do this. Because it's true. The only reason I call him Yeshayahu is that that's because that's his name. Amon. So I have dedicated my life to truth.
Amen.
Yeshayahu 35:8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Let's stop right there.
Oh, God.
The day we live in, folks don't think they have to be holy. But holiness is not something way out there in Never Never Land. Holiness is not you wrap yourself in a sheet and walk around with a hood over your head. Holiness is not that you can't laugh and dance. I don't mean in the club. And swim and go on vacation and see a good movie every now and then. Huh? That you can't raise your family and show them Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and all of these things that's available to you, you can be holy and still do that. See, we have made holiness some kind of thing where people shrivel up and wear a hood over their head and they can't do nothing. They can't go to the movies. They can't go into a liquor store. Holiness simply means that you walk in according to God's word. You can't be a fornicator and be holy. Now that's what he's talking about, but surely we know that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can't lie and steal and be holy. You can't be treacherous, rebellious, and be holy. But all of the other things that God has created, you want to go to the Bahamas? Go. Have a good time. Walk on the beach. Huh? Go and swing off the cliff and drop in the ocean. Get on a boat and go and ride and get on skis. And
amen.
Holy people can do that. So we got to get out of this idea that holiness means that you got to swivel up and almost die. And there shall, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. You know, I love the idea of holiness. I love the idea of being around people who don't lie, don't steal, not treacherous, don't cuss, don't try to get with your wife or get with your husband. I love holiness. The unclean shall not pass over. Those that do the things I just finished, they can't walk on this highway. Or they can't go this way. But it shall be for the wayfaring man. Wayfaring, something to be traveling. Traveling, wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. And so the plan of Yahweh for salvation is so clear that fools should not err therein. And that is our idea, is to show you that. Now let's put up the tabernacle again. And if you will notice in the tabernacle, this is the word of Yahweh. The tabernacle is the word of Yahweh. Notice there's only one door. I said, notice. This is the gospel preached by God. And I'll show you that in a minute. There is but one door. And you got to come in through that door. So one thing we learn right away is that there's only one way to God. Now what we have to find out is what is the one way. But there is only one way to Yahweh. Now remember last week, we looked at Ephraim, which you call Hebrew, the 8th chapter. And I just want to take you back there just for remembrance. 8th chapter, I believe, and the 5th verse. We'll start the 4th verse. And this is talking about Yeshua. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the Torah. And we'll talk a bit about the Torah. The teachings of God. Here is talking about Yeshua. For to go into that tabernacle, to minister in that tabernacle on earth, you had to be from the tribe of Levi. You call him Levi. I'm just doing it the truth way, so you know. The Levi. And only in that tribe was the tribe of the priests. Yeshua is from the tribe of Yehuda. And so if he was on earth, he would not be a priest. Doesn't that make clear sense? Who serve unto the example and shadow of heaven. Thing. So the tabernacle is an example, and when you see the word example, it simply means, I believe the word is homo. What is that word? The word is Hupo de ichnuma. And it simply means, hupo meaning under. And de nikma simply means trace. So the example, when he say example, he's talking about a blueprint. It's a tracing of God's plan for salvation. And so the tabernacle is that tracing, and it is that blueprint that will point out to us what is Yahweh's salvation. So remember that. Keep that in mind. The tabernacle is the what? Is the blueprint. Now, let's turn to Ephraim 5. And so Shaul, talking to church folks, it's a shame that church folk don't know. And so even in that day, Shaul had to talk to church folks about what is God's plan of salvation. And so he says in the 13th and in the 12th verse, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles, meaning the beginning, arche in the Greek, the beginning of the orchiles of Yahweh, orchiles legions, which means the divine utterance. There's a basic thing that everybody should know, and that is, what is the basic divine utterance of Yahweh as it relates to salvation? Back to the tabernacle. This is the complete divine utterance of Yahweh as it related to salvation, at least, I want to say, 3,000 years ago. Because it was about 1400 when they came out of Mizraim into the Bar Medbar, into the desert, where Yahweh gave them his plan for salvation. Laid down. All you have to do is look at this. One thing you automatically know by looking at it, what is that? Huh? Come on, somebody, tell me. What? Only one way to God. Now, I'm going to give you a general layout of it so you'll be up with it when I go. Now, in the tabernacle, once you enter here, you got to get in here first. But once you get in, you can't just walk over here. No, you can't bypass everything. Here would be the brazen altar. This is where the killing went on, where the dying went on. And we'll get into that specifically. This is where the blood and gore and the drippings and the smell of death went on. So you had to come here. Like it or not, you had to come here. And then you would move on to the labor and wash. And only then, with the blood from here, can you get in to here. So another thing we learn, without the shedding of blood, there is no way to God. Got it? But even when you get in here, you can't just go back there. So what I wanted to do is just lay that out so you'll have this in your mind as we approach this tabernacle, as we enter into it. So we've learned one thing, one way. Now, we don't know the specifics of that yet. If you were just looking at this, you would not know the specifics of that just yet. But I'm going to bring you those specifics in just a moment. But if you were a Yehudim young man, you might call him an Ephraim young man. Yehudim, they were called Yehudim because of the tribe of Yehuda. They were called Ephraim is because they passed over the Red Sea. So Ephraim means those that passed over. Right? There is no way to call these people Jews. There's no way. They cannot be Jews. They are Yehudim or they are Ephraim. So if you were a Yehudim or an Ephraim young man, one thing you must learn is the Torah. You must learn the Torah. The Torah is taught to you. You must recite the Torah. You must know the Torah. Now, they thought the Torah just talked to them. But to think if you was an Ephraim young man and say you were Kepha or you were Yohanan or you were Yaakov and you had heard the Torah recited over and over again. And then you heard this. Tehillim. You call him Psalms. 118. And I'm going to read it in the, I'm going to read to the 21st verse. Then I'm going to read it in the Hebrew. Open the 19th verse of Tehillim 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh. The gate of Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Now think if you were this Yehudim boy or this Ephraim boy. You didn't hear it this way. You heard it in the Hebrew term. And here's what it says. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter. I will give thanks to Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous, they will enter into him. I will thank you, for you answered me and will be to me Yeshua. Huh? See, when we hear salvation, remember Yeshua says, you are searching the scripture, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are there that speaks of me. They miss that. He said, you're going to become to me Yeshua. Now think that you didn't know anything about that until you met Yeshua. And you saw him walking by the seaside. And you saw him healing the sick and raising the dead. All of a sudden, you remember the word. And think of the joy and jubilation that now you have. An understanding of the word. Let's go there, Yeshayahu 21. You say, why are you taking all this time on this? Because it's true. Look, I can give you a lot of answers. 21, 1 and 2. Did I say 21? That's not true. It's 26. One and two. In that day shall this song be sang in the land of Yehudas. I know it says Judah here, but trust me, there's no J. We have a strong city. Salvation will Elohim appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gate, and the righteous, it says your nation, but goy in the Hebrew means people also. Ain't no nation going to go in as if they are a whole nation that are saved. These are the people. Shall the people which keep the truth may enter in. Now let's read the Hebrew. In that day, he will sing this song in the land of Yehuda, a city of strength for our Yeshua. Whoa. He will set up wall and fortification. Open the gates, and the righteous people will enter, which keep the faith. Now, let's go back. We'll go back to Ephraim 4. But first, I just want us to put up the I use this. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong end. Hallelujah. Here it is. So turn to Ephraim 4 while they are putting up the. Got it up? This is the gates they are talking about. Now, these gates were a little bit different. Once they got to their true dwelling place, which is Israel, and they built the temple. The temple is just a replica of this tabernacle. They built the temple, they built the gates, but still there was only one way to get in. Fourth chapter of Ephraim, the first verse. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left as of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come up short, that you don't make it in. For unto us, now I want you to listen very carefully, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Put it back again. Just get ready to be flipping back and forth. This is the gospel. It said it was preached to us as well as to what? Them. This is the gospel. As well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, those that heard it had nothing to focus their faith on. Does that make sense? They heard it, but they had nowhere to focus their faith. They knew that the gates were there. They knew that the entering in needed to be made. They knew that one way was there. And so they sent, they would come in with their sacrifice. And then the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice. But they couldn't fix their faith on the sacrificial animal, because it was just an animal. So it did not, though the gospel was preached to them, it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith, and it could not be mixed with faith until Yeshua came. They could not know who the gate was. They knew there was a gate, and they knew there was one way, but they didn't know who the gate was. Even though the gate was decorated with blue and purple and gold, it's talking about deity and heavenly origin and all of that, but they could not know. Now, let's get ready to get in here. Go back to it. Let's identify the gate. Yohanan 14. And let's look at the fourth verse, which you do not have. But I'm going to add that fourth verse just for understanding purposes, so it doesn't have to be up there. And this is Yeshua talking. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Hi, put it up there. Yeshua said to his disciples, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. Fifth verse, Thomas saith unto him. Somebody said, doubting Thomas. But he expressed what the rest of them were thinking. He said unto him, Yeshua. Or he could have said, Master, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, if I want to know the way, I'm excited now. Because if Yeshua answers him, I'm going to know the way too. Am I right or wrong? Are you still with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Sixth verse. Yeshua said unto him, I am the way. What? Let's go back to our tabernacle. Yeshua said, I am the way. Yeshua said, I am the way. Jesus said nothing. Yeshua said what?
I am
the way. Who's the way?
Yeshua.
Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let's go back to the tabernacle. You will never get in here. Now here is, in this tabernacle, this mishkan, this tent, this dwelling place of Yahweh, were two compartments. There was a holy place and a most holy place. You see that? Everybody said most holy. Now, here, this is divided by curtain, but they drew this curtain back so you could see in there. But you would not normally be able to see in there from here. Can you see that? But these beautiful curtains separated these two compartments. Nobody was allowed back here except the great high priest on the Day of Atonement. For he was making atonement for all the nation, all the people. Only he could go by here. But to minister daily right here, we'll talk about that later on. Okay? Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get back here except he come by me. If you had known me, Yeshua said to Thomas, you should have known the Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Yeshua said, I'm the way to the Father, but I'm also the Father. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also, right? And from henceforth, ye know him, that is the Father, and have seen him. Whoa. Yeshua said, I'm God walking on earth. Well, how can he be the Father and still be the Son? And how can that be? Well, he's God. You ever thought about that? He can be whatever he wants to be. He said to Moshe, I will be whatever I want to be. When I want to be it, how I want to be it, where I want to be it. Don't try to put me in your box. You're 110. I'm not going to keep you long. What time do you normally get out? When I say go? Suppose I don't say go for a long time. All right. I might keep you on that. Now, I know somebody going to stick their finger up and tip out. 10th chapter, the first verse. Verily, verily, something mean truly, truly. I say unto you, he that enteth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, I'll go back to the tabernacle. He says, anybody who climb over this fence, he didn't come through the gate, but he climbed over, he's a robber. He's a thief. What do you do to a robber, a thief in those days? You kill him. If you climb that gate, if you got into this enclosure any other way except the gate, it was automatically death. But he that entereth in by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. Drop down to the sixth verse. This parable spake Yeshua unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. It seemed very clear to me what he said. But isn't it something that folks still don't understand? He said it, yet they didn't know. They didn't know what he said. They knew what he said, but they didn't understand. Wow. Seventh verse. Then said Yeshua unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Yes, Lord. He had to keep emphasizing. You ain't going to get in here except you come in at the door. And I am the door of the sheep. all that ever came before me, and I add, will come after me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, he's not talking about the goat that heard it. Oh, we got to go. He's acting like the sheep, but he's a goat. And a goat just ain't going to do right. You know, you got to put a bell on a goat. You know, I was in Jamaica many years ago. I was the international leader of youth leader of an organization. And we had churches in Jamaica, and we had a great convention in Jamaica. So I went to Jamaica and stayed up in Thompson Town. They call it up in the mountains, you know, where they grow all the breadfruit and stuff. And the people did not necessarily understand the gospel. And I think today a lot of people just simply don't understand. All that ever came before me will come after me, are robbers and thieves. But the sheep did not hear them. And so in Jamaica, they eat a lot of goat. I wasn't used to eating goat. But I ate goat. And goat not too bad, except sometimes you bite down on one of them bones and then it's cracked up and now you can have problems. But they didn't try to contain the goats. They put a bell on them and put their name on them. And that goat might go 10 miles away, just traveling around, eating anything he finds. See, some people in the church like goats. They go and travel around, eat everything. You know, the goat will eat a tin can. He will. He just travels around. Wherever he finds something, he eat it. He don't care what it is. Could be a rubber top. He's just going to eat it. But they put the bells on the goat because you can't contain the goat. I got some people around here I like to put a bell on. I can't contain them, so I need a bell on them so I know where they are. At least I can hear the bell jingling. Okay, they're over there. But everybody knew who the goat belonged to because they could see it on him, and nobody would bother that goat. Nobody killed that goat, maybe, but the folks who it belonged to. I don't know why I told that story. Maybe as a diversion, you know. Ninth verse. I am the door. Say it again.
I am the door.
He keep emphasizing. I am the door. I am the door. I'm going to add something. And I think I'm going to add it out of necessity. When I came in to the church, we didn't know anything about Hebrew. We knew nothing. They told us that the Savior name was Yeshua. And we served with all of our hearts. We served with all of our hearts. Those people are not going to go to hell. And if I'd have died without knowing Yeshua, I would not have gone to hell because I served what I knew with all my heart. But once I come into the knowledge, it's required of me that I walk in. Stand in the way and ask, where is the good way? And you'll hear a voice behind you say, that's the way. Walk in it now. You didn't know where the way was before. But now you know. You got to walk in it. See, some people think I'm saying that all of those people that went on before, that served the best they could, they thought they were serving God in Jesus' name. They were baptized in Jesus' name. They did everything in Jesus' name. They did the best they could with the knowledge they had. They are not going to hell. They're going to show up in heaven. Just like Moshe and Yitzhak and all of the saints of old, Yaakov. The Bible says they all going to show up in heaven. They served with what they knew. And that's all you can do. That's all you can do. But once you know. Once you come to the knowledge, then you're in a different ball game. You know. I am the door, the ninth verse. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. So Yeshua said, I am the door. Let's go back to the tabernacle. So since I know that this is the gospel and this preached that gospel, and I know that there is something in here that God has for me, in the name of Yeshua, I walk in. I'm only in. It's not the ending. It's only the beginning. I've got to get over here and eventually get there. And I need to know how to do that. Now, I don't know whether we have a picture of the brazen laver. If we do, not the brazen laver, I'm sorry. I mean of the brazen altar. There we are. See this pretty thing here? Brazing simply means it's made out of brass. It looks beautiful, doesn't it? But here is where the killing took place. Here is where blood and gore is all around. There is the smell of death there. Look at Levi. You come to Leviticus 4. And we'll end with this. And here's the message. And if any man, and if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Yahweh, concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goat, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he has sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and shall slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. So he comes in, and he brings his offering. Here is the goat, a female goat. God don't care whether it be a male or female. Goat. And he gets here at the altar. Go back to the altar. He gets here at the altar. And he lays his hand up on the head of the goat. And he takes his dagger and plunges it into the goat. He kills the goat. You kill Yeshua. You said, well, he died for the whole world. But he died specifically for you too. Your sin was the reason he died. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it up on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And we're going to end with this. Look at Yohanan, and we'll expand on this. Yohanan 19. We will expand on this, but I'm going to let you end with this. Yohanan 19. Then came the soldier. Yeshua is hanging on the cross. Thieves on this side, thieves on that side. Yeshua is hanging on the cross. And break the legs of the first and of the other. The tradition was, in order to get this thing over with, in order to get them dead so you could go on about your other business, you broke their, you hit them, their legs. See, their legs was on that cross thinking down. You broke that leg, both legs. And when you broke the legs, of course, the person couldn't hold themselves up any longer. So they sank down and suffocated. You think this is pretty? We'll talk about this later. This ain't no pretty place. This is not a pretty place. And the other, which was crucified with him, talking about with Yeshua. But when they came to Yeshua and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Now watch this. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out at the base of the cross. Where did the priest pour the blood? At the base of the altar. Where did the blood of Yeshua fall? To the base of the cross, which is the altar. And he that saw it bear record. And his record is true. He knoweth that he said, he knoweth that he said truth, that you might believe. This is a miserable place. People are dying. Legs are being broken and they are sinking down and suffocating. And they came to Yeshua and already they didn't break his legs. Is that prophecy said, not a bone will be broken. Is it 1,000 years before? Yeah, 1,000 years before. Let me end with this. 1 Kefa 2:21. I just do it because I got it here. And y'all told me you didn't mind. So you can't take it back now. Too late. I would go to 2 Kings. 21st verse, 1 Kefa 2. For even thereunto were ye called, because Mashiach also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his step, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Those animals did not sin. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. They stood at the cross making fun of him. If you be the Son of God, you said you were the Son of God. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. He said he trusted in God. Let us see. When he was reviled, not again. Just think, if that was you on that cross, you suffering, and these people are out there making fun of you. You're going to say something. The curse of pox be upon your mama's house. That's what some of you would be saying. You're cursed with a curse. But he spoke not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self, what? Bear our sin in his own body. Remember that the offerer laid his hand upon the offering and he plunged the dagger into the offering. That animal symbolically was bearing the sins of the offerer. But Yeshua, who his own self, bear our sins in his own body. He offered himself for us. And our sin plunged the spear into his side. Our sin hanged him on the cross. He bore all of our sins. We place our hands upon him. And he bore our sin on that cross. In his own body on the tree, meaning the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes Tabernacle, please. This is the gospel. There's one inside that will die for your sin. Come in. You come to the golden altar of incense. I mean golden altar, brazen altar. Flip it there with you. And he would lay his hands upon the offer and plunge the dagger into the offering's heart. And by the laying upon his hands upon the offering, he was transferring his sin upon that animal. Father Yahweh, we thank you for the truth. Because only through the truth can we find eternal life. Only through the truth of Yeshua can we be saved. Yeshua said, anyone that enters in by me shall be saved. Help us, Father. As we travel this way, help us to humble ourselves to your word, to your truth. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, that we might know what is the true way, the only way, to you, Father, and to your throne. We thank you for what you have done in giving Yeshua to the world to die as a sacrifice for our sins. We will ever be thankful. And one day we will stand in the assembly in heaven where the praise will go forth like the rumblings of many waters. For the praise to him will be like thunder. And in that day, we will rejoice. We thank you. We give you glory. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There might be someone here today.